Now, about this time, one knocked at the door. So the porter opened, and behold, Mr. Greatheart was there. And when he was come in, oh, what joy!
Greatheart!
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 Greetings, boys!
Welcome, Greatheart!
Hip hip!
Hurrah!
Welcome!
Good to see thee, sir.
I be glad to have thy brave company with us, dear Greatheart.
Me too.
Thank you. And greetings to thee, faithful wife and virtuous maid.
We are all happy to see thee again, gentle warrior.
Ah, and happy almost overmuch am I to be here.
Welcome, kind sir.
Thank you, Mercy. Say, I hear tell that you have had a suitor come seeking thy hand.
Aye, but none that my lord Greatheart would give me leave to wed. Therefore have I not encouraged him.
Oh, wise girl thou art, especially when thou seest he whom the Lord of the Hill be grooming for thy true companion.
Knowest thou who he be?
My lord hath given me a clue or two.
Share them with me.
Nay, this blessed knowledge shall not come to thee as the burst of a fireworks, but gradually as the gentle dawning of the day. Hast thou still my master's gift next to thy heart?
Aye, it is here.
Good. Save it for he to whom thou shalt give thy promise. And now, Christiana and faithful band, the Lord of the Hill hath sent each of you a bottle filled with the undefiled blood of the grape.
Ah, thank you.
Thank you.
Moreover, here is some parched corn and a couple of pomegranates. And for you, boys, knowing your love of sweets, he hath sent along some figs and raisins to refresh you in your way.
Ah, thank you.
Hip hip.
Hooray!
Shall we be on our way? Those in the city await thee with eagerness unspeakable.
Yes. Forward!
Hooray!
Forward!
Then they addressed themselves to their journey, and Prudence and Piety went along with them. Then said Christiana to the porter,
Sir, I am much obliged to you for all the kindness you've shown me since I came hither, and also for that you have been so loving and kind to my children. I know not how to repay thee. Therefore, as a token of my respects to thee, I pray thee accept this small mite. May it swell into great rivers of benevolence, as did that of the widow.
So she put a gold coin in his hand, at which he bowed low to her and said,
Let thy garments be always white, and let thy hair be anointed with holy oil. Let mercy live and not die, and let not her works be few. And you, boys, do thou flee youthful lusts, and follow after godliness, as do those who are grave and wise.
Yes, sir.
If you do, you shall put gladness into your mother's heart, and obtain praise of all that are sober-minded.
So they thanked the porter and departed.
Oh, no! Alas, I have forgotten what I intended to bestow upon Christiana and her companions. I will go back and fetch it.
So she ran back and fetched it. While she was gone, Christiana thought she heard in a grove, a little way off on the right hand, a most curious, melodious note, with words much like these.
What voice is that?
I cannot tell. Wait.
And listening still, she thought she heard another answer it, saying,
For by the Lord our God is good, His mercy is forever sure, His truth in all times firmly stood, and shall from age to age
Prudence?
Yes, Christiana?
Whence come these lovely sounds?
They are our country birds. They rarely sing except in the warm days of spring when the flowers are out.
They are lovely.
Aye, I often come out into the woods to hear them sing God's praises. We also keep them as pets to cheer our houses.
And do they always sing God's praises thus?
Aye.
Strange that we can understand their words in our own tongue.
As you come closer to heaven, the songs of all of God's creatures can be heard in your own tongue. Yea, to the hearing ear, there is no voice nor language where their voice is not heard.
How they cheer the soul!
Yes, 'tis their duty, which they perform with great faithfulness.
By this time Piety was come again, so she said to Christiana,
Look here, I have brought thee a floor plan of our house and gardens. In each room I have drawn the lessons which we have shown thee, that thou mayest review them from time to time, and not forget.
How very kind of you, Piety.
I bring this to you because you have nothing to fear for the future, except as you forget how God hath led thee in the past.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, Piety.
Now they began to go down the hill into the Valley of Humiliation. It was a steep hill, and the way was slippery, but they were very careful, so they got down with nary a slip. When they were down in the valley, Piety said to Christiana,
This is the place where Christian, your husband, met with the foul fiend Apollyon, and where they had that dreadful fight. But be of good courage. As long as you have here Mr. Greatheart to be your guide and conductor, we hope you will fare better than he.
So when these two had committed the pilgrims unto the conduct of their guide, they returned to their home. Then said Mr. Greatheart,
We need not be afraid of this valley, for there is nothing here to hurt us unless we invite it ourselves.
But did not my husband meet with great opposition here?
Aye, but it was because of his own doing that he had to do such great combat.
I do not understand.
Remember how we were instructed to enter the Valley of Humility with great care?
Yes.
You and your companions gave heed to those kind warnings and came down cautiously, did you not?
Yes.
And at the beginning, when you came through the Slough of Despond, you kept your eyes on the light and so did not fall therein, correct?
Yes, for the better part of the way.
On account of your heeding divine instructions, you were spared the mud of that place. Likewise, because you came down yonder slippery path so carefully, you had nary a slip at all, correct?
Yes, we certainly did fear to fall, and so came on carefully.
Not so with your husband, for although he had the same help as thou, yet he came on so confidently that he had a serious slip or two.
I am still confused. Why did he need do battle, and we not?
They that come into humility carelessly, as he did, must always needs do battle with the enemy.
Why?
Because his confidence and needless slips gave Apollyon grounds to charge him with unfaithfulness.
Like Peter?
Aye. Therefore, his lord had to give the devil leave to oppose him to prove that his heart was still pure.
Then I take it that we must take even God's slightest suggestions very seriously.
Aye. God speaketh nothing for the mere joy of hearing his own voice.
Look!
What?
A pillar with something written thereon. Let us go read it.
And so they came to the pillar which was erected for the instruction of pilgrims. And this is what it said.
Let Christian's slips before he came hither, and the battles that he met with in this place, be a warning to those that come after.
Praise God! I knew that there must be something hereabouts to explain Christian's hard times in this place.
Greatheart?
Yes, my son?
Do you mean us to understand that if we are unfaithful in one leg of our journey, we shall find the going harder in the next?
Did you not find it to be true in the matter of the forbidden fruit? Did you not rob yourself of courage and stand by while two villains accosted thy mother and this pure maid?
Yes.
And when ye came to meet Grim Bloody Man, did you not urge detourings when duty pointed to going straight on forward?
Yes, sir.
And as time went on, were you not growing weaker and more inclined to turn about?
Yes, sir.
Therefore, in answer to thy question, The answer is yes. Today's failure becomes tomorrow's temptation. Heed the warning of this pillar and perform unto the Lord each day's duties.
I shall. Believe me, I shall. What mercy to God that He lets us try again and again.
Greatheart?
Lad?
If my brother had turned about, what would have happened to him?
Hast thou seen many bones bleaching in the sun on this journey?
Aye, many.
There is thy answer. They that turn back have no protection for their back, and few there be that even get back to the place whence they began. Most find themselves 7 times worse off than when they started and are finally killed. Even those who see the mistake of turning back have a hard time finding the right way again. And even if they come to the kingdom, they will still suffer eternal losses. But come, let us be off.
And so they marched forward, farther into the valley of humiliation.
Come, boys, after me. Hup, 2, 3, 4.
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 See what fun they are having on this pilgrimage.
Aye, and this valley of humiliation. My, what a prosperous looking place.
Indeed.
I had thought that it would be a poor place, with bones and skulls all along the way. But instead I see neat farms and lovely little cottages. The people that dwell here seem to be prosperous and happy.
Greatheart?
Yes?
Why is it that men do prosper so well in this valley of humiliation?
Because God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Indeed, it is a very fruitful soil here, and doth bring forth by handfuls.
I wish my dear husband could have seen and enjoyed this part of the valley, if only he had not carelessly slipped.
Now we must judge kindly, and remember that this is perhaps the most unusual valley in the world.
How so?
In that the hill coming down in is much more difficult than the hill climbing out.
Ah.
He did what he could, and got himself a brave victory over his enemy. May God grant that we fare as well as he when we come to be tried as he was.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, as they were going along and talking, they espied a boy feeding his father's sheep. The boy's clothing was most ordinary and plain, but his face was so fresh and clear that it pleased the eyes of all who beheld him. As he sat by himself, he began to sing.
He that is down needs fear no fall, he that is low no pride. He that is humble ever shall have God to be his guide. I am content with what I have, little be it or much. And, Lord, contentment still I crave, because thou savest such. Fullness to us a burden is, that go on pilgrimage. Little here and hereafter bliss is best from age to age.
Do you hear him?
Indeed. Such beauty of voice and sincerity of expression. Why, his happiness almost seems to shine from his face.
Yea, verily. I dare say that this boy lives a merrier life and has a more peaceful heart than most that are clad in silk and ermine.
Is it because he is but a simple child, or is it because such is the nature of all who choose to dwell in the valley of humility?
'Tis true of all who inhabit this valley. Indeed, the Prince of Glory once had his country house here.
Here? Indeed.
Aye. He loved to walk these meadows and to breathe in the pure air of humility. Also, he loved the quiet of this place.
I too am enjoying the peace hereof. There is no rattling of coaches or rumbling of wheels. Here one may meditate upon what she is and to what the king has called her.
Indeed, only in the valley of humiliation can one find such peace both within and without. And should you chance to meet with another walking these perfumed pathways, you would instantly find your heart drawn out to him in love. For only pilgrims travel in these paths.
Such kinship as we feel towards yon shepherd lad.
Aye. In fact, the Prince of Peace hath provided a yearly payment to be given to those who dwell in humility.
A reverse tax?
One might call it that.
Why?
To strengthen them during their stay here, that they may complete their journey in due time.
But how can the great prince afford it?
Forget not that he is the spring from whence all blessings flow. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and it is his joy to bestow gifts upon his little ones.
Oh, that it were so among the governments of men.
In time, you shall come at a place where this is so. But for now, there is the bitter before the sweet.
Sir.
Yes, Samuel?
If this is the place where my father fought with Apollyon, why are there no signs of the battle?
We have not yet come to the place. First, we must pass through this meadow.
My, 'tis such a lovely place. Can we not lie us down among these lovely flowers and rest for a time?
Nay, for this is the most dangerous place in all these parts.
What? Danger? Here in humility?
Aye, look at this road sign.
Forgetful Green. What a queer name.
Read on.
Let pilgrims beware. Tarry not here, for the price you pay is far too dear. The flowers planted by an enemy's hand make you forgetful of heaven's land. What meaneth this, great heart?
The perfume of these flowers is poison to your brain. It maketh pilgrims forgetful of what God hath done for them in times past, and thus weakens their faith.
Ah, I have heard it before. Our only fear for the future is that we shall forget how God hath led us in the past.
Aye, therefore, get us on with a good pace. Come, boys, after me. Hup, two, three, four.
Hup, hup two, three, four.
Hup,
two, three, four.
Hup,
two, three, four.
Hup,
two, three, four.
Hup,
two,
my, what? It seemeth that no matter where we turn, there are snares for our life. How can we ever manage to get there?
I suppose by remembering to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation.
Ah, yes.
And by remembering to ask for such fine guides as Greatheart.
Now they soon came to the place where the aforementioned battle was fought. Then said Greatheart,
"This is the place.
Hurrah!
'Twas here that your father did bravely take his stand. And over there is where Apollyon did bestraddle the path and thus force a battle."
What is this funny colored stone?
'Tis a stone stained with the blood of your father.
There be many such stained ones.
Aye. He was like to have breathed his last here.
What are these splinters of wood?
Shivers from Apollyon's broken darts.
Broken upon the shield of faith, I trow.
Aye?
My, look how the ground is all torn and stirred up.
Aye. He did greatly play the man, and the marks of that battle will be here for pilgrims until there be pilgrims no more.
How come these rocks are gashed?
And some of them split.
These were smitten by the by-blows of Christian's sword.
Really?
Aye.
Such power.
Remember that he was using the sword of the Spirit, a mighty two-edged sword that bringeth certain victory to all who use it.
The word of God.
Aye, the same power that spoke the worlds into existence doth reside in the word of God. 'Tis available to all who would be victors against the world, the flesh, and the devil.
I'll take it up.
Good for you, James.
But how do I do it?
By hiding the words of Scripture in thy mind. Then, in moments of temptation, thou mayest draw them out as a mighty sword and cut down the temptations of Apollyon.
As did my father.
Aye, as did your father and his Lord and the apostles before him.
Where did Apollyon go after he received his mortal wound?
Into the valley of the shadow of death. We shall come there soon enough.
Too soon.
Aye, But pass through we must, for the Eternal City lies beyond, and there is no way around.
Look, a monument. Read it, Mercy.
Hard by here was a battle fought, most strange and yet most true. Christian and Apollyon sought each other to subdue. The man so bravely played the man, he made the fiend to fly, of which a monument I stand, the same to testify.
When they had passed by this place, they came upon the borders of the shadow of death. This valley was strangely haunted with evil things, as many can testify who have gone there through. But because it was day, and because Mr. Greatheart was their conductor, the women and children had better of it than did their father before them. Yet even so was their trial enough and to spare.
What's that?
I know not, James, but the sound thereof doth make my heart to quake.
Fear not, dear ones. We must not give back at the mere sound of demons pretending torment.
Sounds real enough to me.
Me too.
I'm sure glad we have Greatheart with us.
Me too. Hip hip.
Shh, not now. Oh, sorry.
Now they had gone only a little farther when they thought that they felt the ground begin to shake.
What's happening?
'Tis an earthquake.
But listen to the hollowness of the sound. Methinks we be standing on top of some great cave about to crash in beneath us.
Maybe we'll be swallowed up like Korra, Dathan, and Abiram. Listen. There be snakes down in the cave. If we crash through, they shall bite and devour us.
Be of good courage, children. God hath not forsaken us.
How do we know that? To all sight and sound, we are about to become food for snakes.
We know because God hath promised that there shall no temptation overtake us, but that he will provide a way of escape from it.
Besides that, we have Greatheart, his messenger, as our companion.
Aye, and this messenger hath trod these grounds many a time.
Are they always this frightful?
They are frightful in proportion to the faith of each pilgrim. Therefore, trust much that thy fears may be few.
How?
Only remember God's promise to see thee safely through.
And remember how he hath led us in the past.